throughout Proverbs. So every time you see the word simple or something simplicity or something like that, here's the best meaning I can give you of it. It means easily seduced. A simple person is someone that is easily seduced. Knowing that to be the God-breathed definition of it, easily seduced, every time you see that word simple, it means that the person is easily seduced to do evil, are easily seduced to give in to the world, are easily seduced to give in to the devil. It doesn't mean that that person is a ding-a-ling. It doesn't mean they can't add one and one. It doesn't mean they can't tell you the formula for an isosceles triangle. It doesn't mean that they aren't smart. It doesn't mean they don't have a high IQ. It just means that as far as God is concerned and the ways of God, they are easily seduced to believe otherwise and not to follow God. And since you find the word over and over again, I thought I should at least tell you the definition of that word. Now, in Proverbs 1, 20 and 22, wisdom is personified. That means wisdom becomes a woman. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying. Kenneth, does that sound like somebody we know? I've often wondered, why did God personify wisdom as a woman? I've often wondered. Let me read that again. This reminds me of a typical day at home. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the gates, in the openings of the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying. So wisdom is personified. Now, of course, I'm just joking. But she's personified here, and we're going to come back to this. And Lord willing, we're going to listen to what she tells us. There has never been a man with more wisdom than the man Christ Jesus, the living Son of God. You say, well, I already knew that. You talk about that all the time. I know, but you can know something and not be wise in making the application of it and understanding exactly what you're supposed to do for this wisdom or to obtain it. In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Scripture says that. So if you want to know a man who was so wise that he knew as much as God, it was Jesus Christ. So he's the source. God is the source of all wisdom. And people that don't follow him are playing the role of being simple, easily seduced in giving in to those thoughts and those ways and those actions that are the opposite of what God says a person should or shouldn't do. The same Spirit is available to help believers get wisdom, understanding, and discernment from the book written by the Spirit to about 40 different men over a 15 to 1600 year period. You say, well, I know that. You've taught that 5,000 times. I've heard it other preachers. I've heard them talk about it all the time. Well, sometimes you can know things like that. And you can know that Christ was the wisest man who ever lived, and him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you can have all that information, and you say, I'm not dumb. I understand all that. But you don't apply what you know. You know that's true. And you realize it. Who wrote this book? God. Who did he write it to? To all men, but particularly to those who he wanted and those that he wanted to serve him. This book is primarily to people, telling them how to serve God after the same God saves them. And this book teaches you how to have wisdom. I think the greatest wisdom God ever taught me is to just sit and listen. 31 years here, and I've come across some situations and some church members that I dearly love. But after I try to point out the problem, they will not accept what the Bible indicates they're supposed to do. And I just sit and listen. And I pray, and I sit and listen, and I pray. So if you've got a problem that I can't solve, or I can't give you biblical instruction, or if you won't take it, then you can rest assured I'm going to do a lot of listening to you, and you can rest assured I'm going to do a lot of praying for you. You say, well, what is that? That's wisdom. I didn't know that when I came here. After I tell you all I can in this book, and tell you why what you want to do or are doing is wrong, if you want to find some way to blame somebody else and not your own self, I can't do anything about it. So I just listen and pray for you. You say, well, aren't you simple? No. Tell me what else I can do. You just pray about it. Try to point them to the Bible. Try to point them to God. And if they don't want to be pointed in that direction, they're not going to be pointed in that direction. Zechariah 3, 8 and 9. Hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and all thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Of course, capitalized, because the branch who was to come when Zechariah wrote this was the branch we know as the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in whom all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof. Well, what does that mean? I think in a moment we'll understand it. Saith the Lord of the hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day, in a single day, because of this stone with seven eyes, God will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. He's talking about the branch. And the branch is the stone that was laid before Joshua. And the stone is Jesus Christ. And God engraved the graving thereon, meaning he was a part, a chip, if you will, off the old block, that God engraved in him his very personality, his very spirit, and his very character. And through Jesus, he removes the iniquity of that land in one day. And I think that day is coming, the return of Christ. Now let's take a look at Zechariah 4:10. For who hath despised the day of small things? The day of small things are small things that seem small to us, and they are small to God, but they are great things. For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven. Zerubbabel, as far as I know, is about the only biblical character, except maybe David. But Zerubbabel is the only biblical character I know that when you go down the genealogy of Joseph, there's Zerubbabel. You go down the genealogy of Mary, there's Zerubbabel. And they both came together because Zerubbabel was a direct descendant of David, and out of him came two different sons, and Zerubbabel is in both genealogies of the stone with the seven eyes, who is Christ. They shall see, they shall rejoice. For Christ himself was the tabernacle. He refers to himself as the tabernacle. And it was a picture of Christ. For they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet, the building tool, in the hand of Zerubbabel with these seven. These are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth. Okay, if it seems like, you know, well, what in the world's that got to do with this back up here? Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gate, in the city, if she uttereth her word, saying. Well, Jesus Christ is the wisest man who ever lived. Jesus Christ is God himself. His wisdom is so far in excess of ours that you cannot even imagine it. With those seven, which are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth, wisdom cries in the streets. Wisdom cries everywhere. Wisdom cries And the only reason people don't hear it is because they're simple. And because they're easily seduced by their own reasoning, or by the reasoning of false teachers, or by the teachings and desires of their own carnal heart. I asked God a long time ago to give me wisdom, understanding, and discernment. I'd like to show you what the answer is. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You want wisdom? It's in this book. God will give you understanding, and God will give you discernment, and God will help you to understand it. And God will not only help you to understand what the different words mean in the passages, God will also help you apply it to your life, if that's what you want. Unless you want to play the role of being simple. Doesn't mean you're not worldly wise. Doesn't mean you can't tell that cornbread are square and pie is round. Doesn't mean you don't have a lot of intelligence. Doesn't mean you don't have a great business. Doesn't mean you can't reason things out. Doesn't mean you're not a great CPA. Doesn't mean you're not good at what you do. It simply means that you're easily seduced by the world, and you put other things before God, and you put other things before Christ, and you're easily seduced because you don't understand. This book is the source of all wisdom. Who wrote it? Well, that's why I talked about spreading about 40 different men over a 1500 to 1600 year period. Who was it that inspired them? Eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro across the whole earth. Don't you think that in Jesus Christ dwelt the Holy Spirit and God the Father and the Son? If you want to know what wisdom is and how to apply it, you've got to study this book. You've got to want to know the truth, and you've got to understand what the truth is, and you've got to quit following fairy tales. You can go to some little small town and look long enough, and you may find what looks like the head of the Virgin Mary in a fracture or in a mismanufacture of a glass window. And if you let that be known, you will get people that will come from all over the world and flood that small town just to see what looks like the head of the Virgin Mary. Or if you see Jesus, he probably won't draw as much, but if you see Jesus in a door, and if somebody tells you that Jesus healed them and they saw him and he left the imprint of his thumb in a plain glass of window, or maybe you saw him, a statue of him crying, they'll come from all over the world. What's the problem? They're simple. They're easily seduced. You wouldn't believe any of that, would you, Kenneth? Would any of you here believe any of that? But you know why you wouldn't believe it? Because you've been taught this book. And you're still being taught this book. And you know how to discern between foolishness and how to understand what is ridiculous and what is the truth. And you judge it through that book. You want wisdom? You're going to have to get it out of this book. And you're going to have to want to get it. You're going to have to want to get the wisdom that can't come from anywhere else except that book. That book is alive. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Proverbs 1, 22 through 24. Now here we come with this word simple. How long, ye simple ones, ye easily seduced ones, will you love to be seduced? They love it. We've got some of the sweetest women you'd ever want to meet in the Catholic Church. Gentle, sweet, bake cookies, cakes, bow down, take the sacrament, believe the sacrament goes down in and turns into Jesus. Believe that when the priests drink that blood, it turns into the blood of Jesus. They raise their families. They love their kids. They do everything they can to keep them in church. They believe that if they don't go to church, they're going to hell, and they love them. So they do everything they possibly can. Why? Because they're easily seduced. That's what the word means. They're easily seduced because they resist the Spirit of God and don't want to pick up this book, and they want to trust man. The people that come to this church have a deep respect for this book, and they get wisdom from this book. And sometimes they don't even realize they're getting it. And they almost act as though this is something that they had gotten for themselves by their own personal experiences. No, my friend. If you want wisdom, God gives it to you out of this book. But you've got to be interested and want it before you can understand what it is and how to apply it. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. The worst thing in the world is an educated fool. You say, well, a man's not a fool. He's got 5 or 6 different degrees. If he doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if he's easily seduced, even if he's a Christian, he's an educated fool. Scorners. There are many people who just have to scorn this book. Charlie was telling us in the choir tonight. He said, did you hear about Jesus walking on ice? You ever see that in the paper? And it was also on television. This guy's figured out how Jesus walked on ice. He actually walked on ice and it held him up. There's just one problem. And it just hit me square right here. He said, that account can't be true. Jesus walked on water. I said, no. He walked on ice. I said, no. If that were the case, when Peter walked out, Peter would have walked on the ice. He wouldn't have sunk. You ever think about that? The two stories contradict each other. But I'll tell you how fanatical these simple people are. They'd say, well, Peter weighed more than Jesus. They weren't even there. They weren't even there. Or they'd send me a picture of Jack Branch. And they'd say, well, it's just too heavy to hold Peter. Now they've got a book out about Judas. I had a church member, never tell you their name, who called me when that Judas book came out. And they said, Brother Michael Murray, they said, that makes me have doubts about all this. I said, that's normal. I said, you've got a carnal nature. And I said, your carnal nature doesn't believe that's the inspired word of God. I said, have you ever doubted the word of God? Have you ever doubted that it might not be inspired? Well, yeah. I said, what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to destroy it. Apparently, this new book about Judas has Jesus and Judas's best buddies. And it was all a fake. And Judas really didn't hang himself. And Jesus and Judas became great friends and lived happily ever after. There are people in emotional churches who read that book and it just tears them up. Why? Because they're simple. They're easily seduced. But you're not simple. You're not easily seduced. If I tell you it's 20 minutes till 7, there's not a one of you here that won't know I'm lying. The rest of this message is much better than the first part. It's so good, I'm going to save it for next Sunday night. But this is something we really ought to think about. You know, we don't glorify God enough for what He's already given us. He's given you a lot of wisdom, hasn't He, Thelma? A lot more than when you came here. He's given you a lot more too, hasn't he, Charlie? You got it from God. You got it from His Word. You didn't get it from me. I just preached the Word and told you what the words meant. You got that wisdom from God. You got your discernment, being able to tell what the truth was and wasn't. You got your understanding from God. Well, where'd God give it to you from? This book. This book. I never will forget when I first started teaching using this projector. Oh, I got some catcalls from the other churches. They said, well, how? You mean he just preaches using a projector? You've learned more about the Word of God since you got here. Because if you see it and you hear it, you remember 65% of it. But if you just hear it, you remember about 10%, maybe. I'm not interested in what you think of me. I'm interested in what you think of that book. Now, before you go to bed tonight, if you believe what I've been telling you here, how many times have you ever asked, have you ever thanked God for giving you the wisdom that he's given you? How much times have you ever thanked God for the truth that he's given? Do you know if it hadn't been for that book, you wouldn't know zip. It's not because of me. Whatever wisdom, understanding, and discernment I've got came out of that book. And I study it all the time. And I get more and more. I may be absent-minded. I may not be able to remember if I just shook your hand or not. But amazingly, I don't forget that stuff in that book. Because I have the same God who's gracious to me. And he helps me remember that. Because the rest of the stuff is for the simple who are easily seduced. Brother Darrell Shipley, would you dismiss us?